98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
Everything we have been talking about all day long, and it's all in one spot. It's the 4 o'clock reset here on the Burns and Gambo Show. We run through the top stories of the day every day. 4 o'clock, it's appointment listening here on 98.7 FM, Arizona sports station, and we start with the Arizona Cardinals and who did and who did not practice. The official injury report, Gambo, is not out yet, but we can tell you based off of media reports. David Johnson, Hassan Reddick, and safety Charles Washington worked on the side. No Dennis Gardeck, no Terrell Suggs, no Ezekiel Turner. Christian Kirk did practice. Damir Bird did practice. Tremaine Brock did practice. And Jordan Hicks wasn't there either, which raised some eyebrows.
Hicks, everything will be fine with Hicks. I'm almost positive he's going to play on Sunday. So I'm not expecting that to be an issue at all, that Hicks didn't practice. We'll see. On David Johnson and Brock, I have a good feeling that they're going to play. I'm not 100% sure, but I do have a good feeling that both of those guys will be ready for the game on Sunday.
Yeah, Reddick is a little bit of a concern, too, given how well he played against the Bengals. Him, Gardeck, I mean, I know they signed an inside linebacker earlier this week, and there's a good reason why. Obviously, they're getting a little thinned out at that position.
Well, Gardeck and Zeke Turner, you know, both of those guys, you know, being a little banged up, you needed the depth at inside linebacker. But I think things are trending well for some of the key players to be able to go.
Tom Clements today, the offensive coordinator, not offensive coordinator, but the offensive coach, thank you, passing game coordinator, thank you, was asked today if he likes the progress being made by Christian Kirk and Damir Bird.
I don't have a training certificate or a medical license. You have to ask them. It's good to see him out there. Good to see him out there. So beyond that, I'll just leave it at that.
Preseason game number 2 tonight for the Phoenix Suns, hosting the Sacramento Kings.
No TV, right?
No TV, but you'll hear it right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Okay.
I don't even think it's being streamed, so if you want it, either go or you listen to it. Monty Williams from yesterday would like the offense to play fast.
We've asked our guys to make quick decisions, but I'm not going to, you know, be on them about the kinds of shots. I just want them to play with pace and play together, obviously, but 0.5 is just a way to play faster.
0.5. If you have the ball in your hands, after 0.5 seconds, you need to either dribble, shoot, pass, something. Don't just stand there.
Might as well just call it the hot potato offense.
There you go.
You got a hot potato, but you got to get rid of that within a half a second, right? The hot potato?
You got a problem with 0.5? You don't like that? Just too numbers-based for you?
It's half a half a second, yeah. We need something better for 0.5. 7 seconds or less? That was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
0.5? Yeah. I don't know if we could do anything with that.
The NBA has apologized today to a reporter from CNN. Apparently, the Houston Rockets were having a press conference today. A reporter from CNN asked James Harden and Russell Westbrook if they would, quote, feel differently about speaking out about issues because of recent events in China. A member of the Rockets media relations staff interrupted, saying that players were taking basketball-related questions only. The NBA responded. A team representative inappropriately interjected to prevent CNN from receiving an answer to their question. We've apologized to the reporter, as this was inconsistent with how the NBA conducts media events.
Wow. Okay.
So
they were trying to prevent the issue that's going on in China with Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And the Maury tweet, they wanted to prevent the players from being asked about that.
No, just the opposite. The NBA doesn't want it to appear like they are censoring reporters from asking China-related questions. So she was trying to ask a China-related question. She got shot down by the Rockets PR guy,
right.
And the league is saying that was a mistake by the Rockets PR guy. She should have been allowed to ask her question because we don't censor our reporters. That's not what we do here at the NBA.
Good, they shouldn't. That's a fair question right now with the atmosphere and everything that's going on. They did play the game, right? The Nets and the Lakers did play that game. So there was a lot of talk about a lot of stuff's been canceled, and it was some concern over whether that game was going to be canceled. Now, they play each other one more time as well in China.
Thursday Night Football tonight, the Patriots hosting the New York Giants. The Patriots are favored by 2.5 touchdowns in this game. The Giants are a beat-up crew. Meanwhile, also tonight, and actually just getting ready to get underway, It is Game 5 of the American League Divisional Series.
You know, the pressure tomorrow is awesome, and it's on both of us. And who's going to be able to get the lead? Who's going to be able to get out of the gate and kind of take control of the game? They're going to want to take our crowd out of it. We're going to want them to be loud as hell. That's the fun part of your prep going into the game. And how long does Glasnow go? I don't know. When will Snell get up? At some point. When do they go to the Castillo and Anderson and the same crew that they've done? I mean, that's how they've won, and it's how they usually win. We are well prepared to audible when we need to, and we know who they're going to bring who in against us.
AJ Hinch, Tyler Glasnow versus Garrett Cole, the matchup, and this game is just now getting underway, and I promise we will keep you completely updated on it.
Yeah, I mean, it would be one of the biggest upsets in my lifetime. Maybe not the biggest, but one of the biggest in my lifetime if Tampa Bay is able to beat the Astros in Houston and win three in a row against Greinke, Verlander, and Cole.
But our top story of the day, what else?
Kelly's one strike pitch. Swing a fly ball, center field deep. Bellinger going back to the warning track, to the wall. It's a grand slam. Howie Kendrick has done it. They're going crazy in the Nationals dugout. Howie Kendrick with a grand slam here in the 10th inning of Game 5. The Nationals 7, the Dodgers 3. Do you believe it?
There it is. Celebrate good times. The Dodgers lost. They won 106 games.
We threw a party today here at the Burns and Gambo Show. We had pizza.
Yeah.
We had cupcakes.
Some guys like, you guys in second grade? I'm like, it feels like it. It feels like it, man. I'll take it.
Yeah, I know. Not everybody in social mediaville is super happy that we're this happy about it.
Oh, we're thrilled.
Tough.
No, most people get it. Like 90% of the people get it.
I mean,
Dodger fans are like, yeah,
look,
you guys were on the couch.
I will not apologize for not liking the Dodgers. I will not apologize for it. Sorry, not sorry. I don't like the Dodgers. So when that ball from Howie Kendrick sailed over that wall, when those two balls sailed over that wall off of Clayton Kershaw in the eighth, yeah, I was happy. Because you know why? Because the Dodgers,
because we hate them,
have won this division, have owned this division
7 years in a row.
7 years in a row, but their continued failures to do anything about it when it matters the most.
Epic.
Is epic.
It is.
It's juicy.
And you know what?
It's awesome. It is. I celebrate it. I absolutely celebrate it.
Yeah. Look, we revel in their failure. We love watching them fail. We love watching them lose.
No, of course.
We hate them.
Would I rather my team succeed?
Of course.
And I don't count on their failure to amuse me? Of course. But these are lean times around here. You take what you can get, right?
No, listen, Bigley Murata was talking about this, too. I mean, it's a rivalry. Like, you root for your rivals to lose. Think ASU fans are going to be happy if U of A wins a game?
Of course not.
Think U of A fans are going to be happy when ASU wins a bowl game? No, of course you root against your rivals. There has to be hatred. It has to be hatred. It's not, oh, I dislike you. No, I hate you. I hate you. I hate your fans. I hate everything about you. You peed in our pool. We despise the Dodgers. We do. You know, Benedict AJ's over there right now, went 0 for 13 in the series. Kershaw imploded again. Wow. Roberts couldn't make his mind up of what he was going to do. I mean, it was so fun to watch. I mean, you're up 3-1 and Kershaw's on the mound and gives up back-to-back homers and the game's tied. That was fantastic. I mean, it was. I thoroughly enjoyed it because I can't stand a Dodge. I literally can't stand him. I got nothing to apologize for either. Yeah. And the Dodger fans, oh, your team was on the couch. You're talking about the Diamondbacks, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, last team to win a World Series was the Diamondbacks. And it's not even close.
What?
You guys haven't won anything in 31 years.
You know what? We'll slide over the couch. There's plenty of room for you now. Come on, big boy. Have a seat. Have a seat. Sit right next to me here on the couch, Dodger fan, because you're right there with us too, because your team. And look, no disrespect to the Nationals. They're a good team. And the two hitters who took Clayton Kershaw deep, those are two of the best hitters in the National League.
Right, but he's one of the best pitchers in all-time history of baseball, but he cannot pitch in playoffs. He is terrible in the playoffs.
Yeah, it was fun to watch, and now the Dodgers are out, so the Nationals and the St. Louis Cardinals in a series just loaded with former Diamondbacks. I mean, loaded with former Diamondbacks.
I know.
For the right to go to the World Series. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Arizona Sports wants you to blitz the Bayou and win an all-expenses-paid trip for two to New Orleans. So watch a little football, eat a little gumbo, and go along with the Bird Gang Travel Club. So here's what you do. You text the word blitz to 62620 for your chance to win. Again, that's blitz to 62620. Blitz the Bayou, brought to you by Pepsi. So, lots of candidates after the collapse last night. Who ultimately is the most responsible for what we saw last night?
That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Dodgers were the best team in the National League. They had an argument to be the best team in baseball. They were really very well constructed, and they probably should have won that game last night, given the situation right after Clayton Kershaw got Adam Eaton out. From that point on, obviously anything can happen, but they really should have won that game. And I'm sure every single Dodger player, coach, whatever, is going to be replaying that the entire winter. When they get together in spring training, it's going to be, well, how do we top that? We were this close, and we should have won.
Keith Law on the Baseball Tonight podcast talking about the Dodgers' failures last night. The specific moment he's referring to was Kershaw striking out Adam Eaton with two runners on in the top of the seventh inning.
In relief of Bueller.
And that was, from that moment on, the expectation of the Dodgers winning. I know it was only two runs, and I know he still had to get through the heart of the order in the eighth inning. But at that point, the expectation, I know I had the expectation the Dodgers were going to win that game in that moment. I don't know if I would have bet a house payment on it, but it sure felt like they were going to win it.
Six outs away, at home, up 3-1, sure. Of course.
You would think that would be the case, but then Anthony Rendon, one of the most accomplished hitters in the National League, he took Kershaw deep in the eighth. Juan Soto, one of the most prolific, exciting young hitters in all of baseball, took on the very first pitch he threw in the next at-bat, took Clayton Kershaw deep to the tune of a 441-foot home run.
Yeah, both of those pitches were sliders that didn't slide.
Yeah, exactly.
They were both 89-mile-per-hour sliders that didn't slide. And he got burned by it because he's not the same pitcher that he used to be. And he's an awful postseason pitcher. Four times in the last seven they've been eliminated. It's been with him on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
His postseason ERA is about 4.5. He's given up a mind-boggling 24 home runs in the postseason. And, you know, you could say anything you want about, well, he's your guy, you got to go to him. No, you don't have to go to him. He's not a good postseason pitcher. He's not. You don't have to go to him.
And that's
go to Kenta Maeda.
If we're talking blame here, if we're talking about assigning blame, if you have to know if you're Dave Roberts that that's who Clayton Kershaw is. And you can't be in denial about who Clayton Kershaw is. You have to accept that Clayton Kershaw, this time of year, is just not the same guy he is in June.
Nope.
He's just not the same guy he is in August. And Dave Roberts didn't seem like he was interested in acknowledging that, at least not the way he managed the game. Look, if it's no different in any business. I mean, if I'm a radio host, okay, and I am a radio host, and there's a particular sport that I don't know that much about, don't put me in charge of anchoring our coverage about that sport for 4 hours. You're making a poor managerial decision if you put me in charge of our
cricket special on Saturday.
Exactly. I don't know jack squat about cricket. Don't put me in charge of that.
Let's see if we can make that happen, Jordan.
Let's do a
cricket special on the weekend, and that Burns, you host it.
But that's what Dave Roberts did to Clayton Kershaw. But because Clayton Kershaw is so good during the regular, I mean, his regular season ERA, this was like 2.5, okay? His postseason ERA is two runs higher than that. Because he's so good in the regular season, you fool yourself. You trick yourself into believing, oh, no, he'll get it done this time. He'll get it done now. He'll perform in this moment. And when he doesn't, you got nobody to blame but yourself if you're Dave Roberts. Nobody. You got to know your personnel better than that. You just have to.
Yeah, Patrick Corbin, they had no problem going to Patrick Corbin after Strasburg, who did a great job. And the fact that they didn't pinch hit for Strasburg with two guys on in the fifth because they wanted to get another inning out of him was remarkable that they did that they didn't pinch hit for him. He goes through, gets you the six. Corbin went an inning in the third. He went right through the heart of the Dodgers lineup, too. He was fantastic. Daniel Hudson, who, congratulations, Huddy, and his wife is having a baby today. He's back here in Phoenix right now. Talked to him after the game last night. So he was flying back this morning.
It's a heck of a day for Huddy.
Won the game. They won the game last night. He pitched an inning. Did a good job, although he almost gave up a home run to Will Smith. But yeah, he's back in town. His wife's going to have a baby. But Corbin was able to go out there giving an inning and a third. Like they didn't like. It's not that Corbin has this unbelievable postseason history of failure like Kershaw does. He had one bad game, but they threw him right back out there, and I don't blame him. I would have done the same thing and give Corbin a shot. But Kershaw is different just because there's so many failures, 14, 15, 17, 19, where he has failed for the Dodgers.
2.44 regular season ERA, 4.43 postseason ERA.
Two runs a game more.
Clayton Kershaw in his career after the sixth inning in the regular season, 2.33 ERA in the postseason, highest of all time, 12.27 ERA with a minimum of 10 innings pitched. He allowed as many home runs in last night's game as Mariano Rivera did in his entire postseason career. All right? You got to know that. And you got to know if you're Dave Roberts, and clearly I'm pinning this whole thing on Dave Roberts, you got to know that Joe Kelly hasn't gone multiple innings for you at all since August 24th. You can't ask him to go back out there and do that again, especially when he starts getting in trouble the way he did. Right? I mean, you got to have a quick hook. You got to have a feel for this. You read a quote earlier.
I have it here.
From a columnist for The Athletic, right?
Yeah.
Who seemed to suggest, and I would agree with her, that Dave Roberts just doesn't have a feel for this postseason managing thing, because it is about feel and situation and what you're seeing with your eyes.
And I'll read you the quote. And it's by an Athletic writer who covers the team on a regular basis. Her name is Molly. And here's what she said. Roberts ignored all of Kershaw's ugly postseason history. The collapses in 2013, 14, 16, 17. He ignored all of Kershaw's decline, the decreased velocity, misshapen slider. He ignored the armada of other relievers in favor of Kershaw. The unfortunate symbol of this franchise's inability to secure a title. That was basically the gist of it. I mean, just that they don't trust Dave Roberts. She, the writer, doesn't trust Dave Roberts to make the big decisions that matter for the Dodgers.
Yeah. So now, Clayton Kershaw.
Molly Knight. I'm sorry. Molly Knight was her name.
By the way, Houston is already up 1-0. They're already up 1-0.
First three batters all got on base.
Yeah, first three batters all got on base. First and third, still nobody out there getting to Tyler Glass. No. Clayton Kershaw last night, to his credit, and I will give him credit, he owned it. He absolutely owned it.
I'm not going to hang my head. I'm going to be here. I'm going to continue to try to fight, continue to try to compete. I'm not going to shy away from it. I'll continue to do it. Everything people say is true right now about the postseason. I understand that. Nothing I can do about it right now. It's a terrible feeling. It really is. But, I'm not going to hang my head. I'm going to be here next year and try and do the same thing and continue to try and do it every single year.
I saw some video of people leaving Chavez Ravine last night, and they were driving over Clayton Kershaw's jersey in the parking lot.
What? Really?
Yeah, like there was... Like,
I did not...
So there was like a guy in the front seat of his car who was narrating. He's like, okay, so we're stuck in traffic here, trying to get out of Dodger Stadium. Look about two cars ahead of me. See that? They're encouraging people. They took their Clayton Kershaw jersey off, and they're encouraging people to run over it in the parking lot, to drive over it. Here, drive over my jersey. He took the jersey off his back, put it on the street, and basically was encouraging Dodger fans to drive over Kershaw's
jersey. So how
jersey.
Do you feel about Clayton Kershaw if you're a Dodger fan? He's given his heart and his soul to you. He's never left. Free agency, never really took free agency. He's a state of Dodger. He worked his ass off. But, man, his postseason failures just stick out like a sore thumb.
Gambo, that is... Honestly, and I know we're supposed to have all the answers here, and we're supposed to...
You love him or no?
That is the most complicated question. I wouldn't even know how to answer that. I'm being honest with
you. He's the face of your postseason failures.
That is such a complicated question, because he has been... He's arguably the best regular season pitcher of his generation. But in this moment, in these moments, he is the poster child for why you have not won a World Series
these
last 7 years.
You haven't won a World Series.
He's the face of it.
He's the face of the failures your organization has had in the playoffs.
And I don't know. If I were a Dodger fan, I don't know how I would feel about Clayton
Kershaw.
You'd
have mixed emotions. Like, yeah, it's great that you gave your heart and your soul to us, but damn, can you get anybody out in the postseason?
Yeah.
Your ERA's 4.5. You got up 24 homers. It's 3-1. Just get three more outs. They're going to win the game. He couldn't get it done.
Rays already have somebody warming up at the bullpen right now. Still nobody out. First and third, Alex Bregman just gapped one.
Oh, my God. That's going to clear the bases.
And so that's going to score at least one and two runs.
Russ has a perfect relay.
And it's 3-0 already. Houston beating Tampa Bay as Alex Bregman. The kid's got a lot of heart.
a two-run double, and Houston is up 3-0 over Tampa Bay right now in Game 5 of the American League Divisional Series. From Cliff Kingsbury to Larry Fitzgerald. Oh,
there goes our hopes for an unbelievable upset, huh?
Garrett Cole's
on a mound. He's given up. I think he struck out the side.
Yeah, I would say that. Well, you know what? Hey, stranger things have happened.
Yeah. What, Bernsie, were you actually wanting the Astros to lose?
Yes.
Don't let him. Were you on that?
No, I wasn't on that.
That's what. Gambo keeps answering for everyone here, wanting the Astros to lose.
I didn't hear Jordan asking you that question. I believe he asked me that question.
Shut up, Jordan.
I appreciate you trying to answer for me.
Yeah.
I'm not rooting. How would your boy AJ Hinch feel like if he knew you were rooting for his team to lose? Man, I'm going to text AJ and say, by the way, the next time Gambo asks you for something, tell him no, he wants you to lose.
Oh, yeah. The last time I asked him for something was when you needed tickets for the Astros game.
No, I had to literally go get you tickets to go to the Astros game in Houston. The last time you asked him for something was so we could tape some video for your kid because he was getting ready as he played on the Astros.
Sure that wasn't after you needed tickets for the game?
I'm positive that was after I needed tickets for the game.
I don't know, Jordan. You remember that?
This playoff series is tearing the show apart
now. Hold on a sec. I'm rooting for AJ's team. He gave me his tickets to go see his team, and I'm rooting for his team. What's your excuse?
I want the Yankees to win.
Well, quick, you don't need to answer
for me. I'd rather play Tampa Bay.
I appreciate you trying to answer for me, but I'm very much rooting for Houston. You hear that, AJ? I'm rooting for you. I got your back. From Cliff Kingsbury to Larry Fitzgerald, the Cardinals cannot stop praising. But once Sunday rolls around, can Arizona's defense actually stop Julio Jones? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Yeah, 4-0 right now, Astros. That was quick. Gurriel, RBI single. Alex Bregman, two-run double. Altuve, an RBI single. And it is 4-0 as the Astros just jumps the Rays. Jump the Rays.
All it takes is one pitcher to come out, not have anything good, and be nervous and out of sync, and you're in a 4-0 hole.
Just like that. We did get the Cardinals injury report while Sandy was reading the update. We'll give you the very latest on that in just a moment. First, let's get an update on our Twitter poll question of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show with Sandy Charles.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
Who is to blame? We play the blame game in this poll question, right?
Yes.
It's got to be somebody to blame. It's always somebody's fault. Everything. Always somebody's fault.
It's one of the bedrocks upon Gambo's entire empire is built upon. There's always somebody to blame.
It's never nobody's fault. It's always somebody's fault.
I'm never guilty.
No, it's never your fault. It's never your fault. No.
I mess up all the time.
Unless it is. Yeah. It's never your fault unless it is.
Okay. Who deserves the most blame for the Dodgers NLDS Game 5 loss? Clayton Kershaw, Dave Roberts, Joe Kelly, or AJ Pollock?
Dave Roberts.
Kershaw.
You guys. You're both split. Okay. Dave Roberts is leading with 54%, then Clayton Kershaw, 33%. Followed by AJ Pollock with 7% and Joe Kelly 6%.
Come on. Joe Kelly above AJ Pollock, for goodness sakes. All right, that's the poll question.
Benedict AJ.
That's him. There go our chances of getting him on the show again.
I don't want him on the show. He's a Dodger.
Cliff Kingsbury, yesterday, Julio Jones, a freak.
I think anytime you're trying to stop him, no matter who you have, it's going to be a tall task. I mean, he's phenomenal. And just watching the tape from this season, I mean, I've always watched him from afar, but then watching it on tape and really studying him, I mean, he's an absolute freak and plays hard every snap. You know, you can tell. Passionate about the game and does everything right.
Larry Fitzgerald.
In terms of physically, there's nobody like Julio in the game. You know, he's the most dynamic. I mean, he can run every route. You know, the guy's capable of putting 200 on you in any single day. And he can beat you over the top. He can beat you underneath. He really has no weaknesses whatsoever in this game. He's like a mutant. He's a superhero.
He's a mutant? He's a superhero. Apparently, he's one of the X-Men. I had no idea.
Not one of the banana splits?
No, he's not one of the banana splits. They weren't mutants, and they certainly weren't superheroes. I don't know what they were, but they weren't that. He's a member of the X-Men, apparently, and he's what the Arizona Cardinals... He's a part of what the Cardinals have to deal with, and I think the singular scariest nature about this game Sunday is that for all the things that are wrong with the Atlanta Falcons, to just look at that roster and to see Julio Jones and to see Austin Hooper and to see Mohamed Sanu and Calvin Ridley and Devontae Freeman, who still catches the ball very well out of the backfield, and to see that Matt Ryan is second in the league when it comes to yards as a passer so far, is to see an offense that at least on paper looks very capable of putting up a bunch of yards and a bunch of points in a hurry. Even though they haven't been great this year, they certainly look like they're capable of it.
But if you look at the targets for Julio Jones, week 1, 7, week 2, 7, week 3, 9, week 4, 10, week 5, 11, they've gone from 7 to 9 to 10 to 11. He's had two 100-yard receiving games. He's got four touchdowns. He's got four touchdowns in the last three games. And he's had big plays, 54-yard play, 34-yard play, 220-yard plays. So he's had a lot of big plays. He's got the four touchdowns. He's averaging 14 yards per play. He's got 359 yards. Like, he's fine. Like, he's fine. Like, they're targeting at him. He's catching the ball. He's got 19 receptions in the last three games. There's nothing wrong with Julio Jones. It's the running game. It's the offense. It's getting behind. It's the defense. But it's not Julio Jones. And who the hell covers him? Like, you know, Patrick Peterson
on this team. That is
who is covering him?
Fantastic question. I have no
Byron Murphy. Good luck.
I mean, good luck. Brock, if he's healthy, Byron Murphy. You don't ask Buddha. Who? Although I did see real quick. It's on the subject. Chris Jones. Cleared waivers, by the way.
I'm surprised at that, but he did.
I'm surprised by that.
So he could probably be put on their practice squad.
Yeah, he probably can. He's
going to be put on their practice squad.
I'm not saying that because he could cover. I just, because we were talking about cornerbacks, I saw that about an hour ago.
I thought there was a chance that he would get claimed.
Yeah.
He did.
That is, Gambo, such a good question, and I have, my guess would be Byron Murphy, and that scares me to death. Here's something else that scares me to death about this matchup. Austin Hooper. You didn't give up a touchdown to a tight end last week, or you could have easily with Tyler Eifert, very easily. There was one play in particular. You've given up six touchdowns to tight ends in five games so far, and in comes the second or third most prolific catching tight end in terms of receptions and yardage-wise in the NFL.
Ridley, Sanu, I mean, there's no weak link outside of maybe that offensive line. You know, and that's where you're going to have to win this game, with the offensive line. You're going to have to get hits and hurries on Matt Ryan, maybe come up with your first pick of the season because they don't have any interceptions. But if he's given time by the offensive line, I mean, there's just way too many weapons. You can't sit there and say, well, I guess, like, if I want to take one guy out of the game, I want to take Julio Jones out of the game. But then the tight end might kill you like they would be beat by tight ends a couple of times this year.
Yeah, they could, and that was something that Vance Joseph spoke about today. He's like, a game plan for their tight ends? Man, I need a game plan for a lot of guys.
Every week it's different. You know, I mean, some weeks it's the tight end that's the number one target. You know, if he's the third target, I can't worry about the third target. If he's the top target, then we have a plan to stop him. But you hope this week they feature the tight end and not Julio. Yeah, how about that?
And that's what he's saying. Like, we'll have a plan to stop Julio Jones. We're not going to have a plan to stop Hooper. We're just not. We'll have a plan to try to contain Julio Jones because he could kill you. Julio's very capable of a 150-yard game with two touchdowns. He's very capable of that.
Mm-hmm.
And with no Patrick Peterson and no Robert Alford, I mean, he might be licking his chops thinking he's going to have a field day in this game.
Surprising part about the Atlanta Falcons, they're only averaging about 20.4 points per game.
Well, they scored 10 against Tennessee. They scored 12 against Minnesota, 20 against Philly.
It doesn't make sense.
32 against Houston and 24 against Indy. Like, they've had struggles putting points on the boards. I don't know why.
Here's your injury report. As we mentioned, it just came out right as Sandy Charles was delivering her update. Did not practice today. Dennis Gardeck did not practice. Jordan Hicks did not practice, but the injury that is listed, it says not injury related.
He's going to play Sunday.
Okay. David Johnson did not practice for the second straight day. Terrell Suggs did not practice for the second straight day. Ezekiel Turner, safety Charles Washington, did not practice for the second straight day. Hassan Reddick was upgraded. He was a DNP yesterday. He was limited today. So
I don't know everybody's. I feel good about David Johnson. I feel good about Tremaine Brock. Not concerned about Jordan Hicks. Don't have the status on all the guys. I don't know. But some of the key players, just try to keep your eye on, you know, Hicks and then Brock and then David Johnson. I feel pretty good about them going.
Yeah. By the way, Gerrit Cole is not a cyborg sent from the future. He gave up a home run, Eric Sogard. It's 4-1 right now going into the middle of the second.
There you go.
He is not a Terminator. He's actually a human being who bleeds real blood.
All right.
But he's given up a run, and it's
raised right back in this game.
4-1 no, not right really, now but... going into the bottom of the second inning. Join Kevin McCabe at AZ Preps Live Saturday, 9 to 11, Chick-fil-A off of Peoria Avenue and Metro Center Mall. Going to have the chance to win free Chick-fil-A for a year. Tickets, other prizes as well. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details on the Chick-fil-A High School Football Roadshow Series. It's probably not going to happen again this season, but Josh Rosen and the Dolphins are starting to get, what's this, momentum from the NFL experts?
What?
We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Gambo has already told me that the lunch I owe him
is on hold
for, was it Jalen Thompson's having a better pro football focus grade than DJ Swearinger did? That's on hold, right?
I said nobody can be worse than DJ Swearinger. You disagreed. I was right last week. So that's on hold because I'm looking at the Miami Dolphins this week and I'm a little worried.
We have a bet.
Yeah. Stupid bet by me. It's one of those, I don't know, maybe I felt bad for you because you've lost so many. And I was just like, I'll give, like this one. I mean, who predicts a team to go 0-16?
I don't know, but I appreciate the pity. I really do. Thank you for the charity. Your graciousness and your magnanimous over there. You really are. I'm lucky to be in your presence. I really, really am. You picked the Miami Dolphins to go 0-16.
I did.
I jumped all over that and said, I'll give you two lunches to your one if they go 0-16. I probably should have given you four lunches your one if they go 0-16 because the odds are against it. But you were more than fine with two. This week, there were five. There usually are five or six.
Come on, Adrian Peterson.
Top upset picks for week six. This is on ESPN.com today. This is their weekly NFL Experts Predict Week 6 upset picks, and of the panelists that they had, Mina Kimes, Jason Reed, Aaron Schatz, Kevin Seifert, Field Yates, of the five they had, two of the five said the Dolphins will beat the Washington Redskins this weekend.
All right.
They've got no
offense, the Redskins. Their defense isn't bad. Got a lot of good players on that defense, a lot of former first-round picks. You know, you got Ryan Kerrigan. You've got Daron Payne, you got Allen. They've got some good players there. Dolphins are hungry for their first win. Rosen's hungry to show that he could play in this league. I mean, this will be a game that Dolphins can win. I don't know. Now, new coach with the Redskins, are they motivated?
I'm worried about that a little bit. I'd be, you know, just hoping that this thing gets over with so I know I don't owe you two lunches for this thing. That's what I would be concerned about from the Miami standpoint is with Callahan in charge now. Do they get a little bump from that? Do they play a little hard for the new guy? Or
Case Keenum this week?
Oh, that's right. It's going to be Case Keenum. Or are they just resigned to the fact that we play for arguably the most dysfunctional organization in the NFL and get me out of here. I mean, that's the Miami Dolphins case too, but it'll be an interesting one. It's probably the one if you look at the schedule. And you're right. If we come in here on Monday and the Dolphins have lost to the Redskins, you could legit look at that schedule for Miami the rest of the year and go, if they can't beat that team, who the heck are they going to beat?
Right.
And that's legit.
There's four teams that don't have a win, you know? There's four teams right now that still don't have a damn win in the NFL.
So that's possible. Thursday night football tonight looks windy and chilly there in Foxborough. The Giants taking on the Patriots tonight, and the game's set to begin here in just a little bit. And how about Robert Kraft on the NFL Network pregame show tonight, dropping this little nugget about Rob Gronkowski?
We all love Gronk, and I think the bottom line is he hasn't put his retirement papers in. So we can always pray and hope. It's a little fact that...
I didn't know that.
Well, I'm glad I could tell
you
one thing you don't know. So you can pursue that. And when he puts his retirement papers in, although I think our kicker, Matt Nugent, he's already put his retirement papers in. So even if he puts them in. But that's a good academic argument that there is hope for us still with Gronk.
Wow.
Great.
Isn't he doing the broadcast this week?
He is. He's doing it tonight, isn't he? Sam LeBrock, is he like a third man in the booth with Aikman and Buck?
No, I think he's in New York. How on the Thursday night Fox broadcast, they have like Terry and them still doing the show.
We've got that on in here, and I don't see him yet. I don't know how they've incorporated him yet, but somehow he's going to be a part of it, right? I think.
Yeah, that's the rumor, yeah, that he's supposed to be part of the Fox broadcast.
I'm sure he'll be a part of it at some point. I just haven't seen him pop up yet.
He's going to watch this game and be like, my God, I would have had 7 catches for 180 yards and 2 touchdowns against this Giants defense.
My numbers
would have gone through the roof.
Oh, that'd be a bet right there to make. Will Rob Gronkowski play a game for the New England Patriots this year?
No. Man, the way he sounded.
I know, he sounded despondent.
But he left.
He sounded so much happier that his life didn't have football in it, didn't he?
And he's a guy that doesn't need football to make extra money.
Oh, no.
Like he'll make more.
Isn't he
more
the
money.
One who didn't spend a dime of what he earned? Right.
Right. Just his
the endorsement money.
Endorsement money.
He spent the endorsement money, but he didn't spend a dime of his actual salary that he made. He's fine. He's got no money issues whatsoever.
No.
And then while we're taking a look-see around the NFL, Richard Sherman today, because we all needed an update on the handshake that did or did not happen, was asked today, why did you actually say Baker didn't shake your hand when, in fact, he did?
Because that's what I thought happened. That's what I remember happened. He stood back, and I said it the way I remembered it, and I took it as disrespect, and I took it out on him, as I should.
As I should.
But he did. But he shook your hand. He didn't the second this whole. Have you seen the video on this?
Yes,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, he shook his hand.
He shook his hand. They have the coin flip, and then apparently he was supposed to shake his hand again after the coin flip, but Baker didn't. He ran straight to the sideline, and somebody else from the Browns ran straight to the sideline without shaking hands a second time, and that's what Sherman's pissed about.
The good news is he's 31. Sherman.
You're saying the...
Like, the end is near,
his
man.
Clock is ticking.
Yeah, corners. I mean, what's he going to play? Two more years? One two, more year?
Two, maybe,
maybe
three.
Two. He'll be 32 by the time next season starts. I mean, he's another guy. Like, you wouldn't miss him if he's gone, Richard Sherman. So, he's got a few years, maybe a couple of years left, and then we don't have to worry about his antics anymore.
It's just, he was asked if he was embarrassed by the attention of the story.
No, I don't feel any embarrassment. I really don't care at all. I spoke to Baker about it. We cleared it up. He's good. I'm good. I mean, it wasn't a big deal to me in the beginning, and it's not a big deal to me now. Things like that don't bother me at all.
Really?
Why'd you say anything?
Then why? Exactly.
Why'd you bring it up?
You brought it up.
Just want to watch the world burn.
Some men just want to. That's Richard Sherman, man. He just wants to watch the world burn.
What movie's that from?
Dark Knight.
Dark Knight?
Okay. Yeah, that's the butler. So telling Christian Bale, it's the Joker. He just wants to watch the. Richard Sherman just wants to watch the world burn. Oh, I don't care. Then why'd you say anything?
I think he wants to start it. He wants to start the fire. He wants to go Billy Joel.
Yeah. Why'd you bring it up?
We didn't start the fire.
Yeah. Why did you even mention it then? If it wasn't that big of a deal, if you don't care, he's one of those guys who's always almost making things up to find ways to motivate himself. Right. To give himself an edge when he's out there playing.
And Baker didn't take the bait though. Like, he didn't fire back at him or anything. He was.
Not at all.
Man, because you got to think, like, dude, this guy's going to be out in the league a year or two.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about him anymore. He's going to be gone.
There's the Arizona Cardinals coming off their best offensive performance of the season with a wounded Falcons defense in town for Sunday. Is this the week that it all comes together for Arizona's offense? We'll talk about that coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show.